The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, as the country slowly begins to turn its attention towards the next incumbent of Áras an Uachtaráin, how does our presidential system compare to others around the world? Well, reporter Simon Tierney has been investigating this for us and he's with me now. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
With our presidential system having its origins in the nascent Free State, why exactly was our current model chosen?
Okay, well, our system was a product of the 1937 Constitution, of course, written by Eamon de Valera, who would go on to hold the office himself for 14 years for most of the 60s. And as a free state and eventually a republic 11 years later, the president was, in a sense, replacing the British king as head of state, Pat. This is similar to what happened in Italy, too, when their monarchy was abolished in the post-war period. And de Valera wanted a non-partisan, ceremonial figure who sort of sat above the fray of politics with no executive power. Very different to the way we understand the role of the American or the Brazilian presidents, for example, who do have full executive power.
But him as Taoiseach, he didn't want any interference from above.
Absolutely, yeah. And he was very aware of that. And then the naming of Douglas Hyde as our first president in 1938 was a really symbolic moment, which we'll hear in this clip now. He moved into the Áras, not long vacated by the Governor General, who was the representative of the King in Ireland.
The greatest day in the history of the Irish Free State, the celebration of another victory for Mr. de Valera. In the election, he has just won his first clear majority since he came into power 6 years ago. And today, his nominee, Dr. Douglas Hyde, is being installed as first president. Dr. Hyde has been accepted by all parties to be in every sense a representative of the nation. So a Protestant becomes the leader of a mainly Roman Catholic country, an example of tolerance which is a model to many another nation.
They don't make newsreels like that anymore,
no,
do they?
With the music.
The inauguration of Douglas Hyde as Ireland's first president in 1938. So, how does our presidential system compare to the other countries?
Well, there's some consensus that our system lacks bite, that's for sure. For example, there was a book published by Oxford University Press, Pat, in the late 90s, and it argued that the Irish presidency is usually seen as one of the weakest in any liberal democracy. The writer, Michael Gallagher, he went on to say that this characterization isn't necessarily a bad thing, but that it does raise questions about the nature of the presidency. This, I suppose, is because of the strong government controls over what our president can actually do. This has loosened over the last 20 years or so in terms of what they say, but it's much looser, certainly in Portugal, for example, where the president actually intervened in his government's foreign policy in 2003 to limit the Prime Minister's intention to participate in Bush's war in Iraq. Now, equally, the Finnish president also wields considerable power over foreign policy too.
Now, you'd call our system a semi-presidential system. So what does that mean and how does that compare to others?
Well, our president is head of state, but not head of government. So in the US, he or she is both. This is a full presidential system. Now, despite this difference, when an American president visits Ireland, there is a sense of parity in them meeting their counterpart, their Irish equivalent, as they're both heads of state. Here's a clip of former Irish president Patrick Hillary, Mary Robinson's predecessor, of course, welcoming Ronald Reagan to Ireland in 1984.
Touching down at Ireland's gateway to the west, Air Force One brings an Irish-American president to his homeland with an air of rarely rivaled expectancy. As they emerge to the sunny Shannon evening, the smiles hid many obvious anxieties. But now and for the next 3 days, Ronald Reagan will forget interest rates and the Gulf. His attention and that of Mrs. Reagan will be focused firmly upon Irish soil. His hosts, the Irish President Dr. Hillary and Prime Minister Garrett Fitzgerald, will clearly be delighted to help him. The official welcome came from Dr. Hillary.
This is your third visit to Ireland, Mr. President. On this occasion, you will, for the first time, visit the village, Ballyporeen, where your great-grandfather lived, until the dream of a new life in a land of opportunity drew him, with thousands of others, away from the bleak reality of 19th century Ireland.
Ochjagiel. How did I do? To be able to stand on the soil of my ancestors among all of you is for me a very special gift. I want you to know that for this great-grandson of Ireland, this is a moment of joy.
And that was an ITN report covering Ronald Reagan's visit to Ireland in 1984. The French system, it's really quite unique in a European context.
Yes, certainly, Pat. It sits somewhere between the two, full and semi-presidential. They have a president with considerable power, of course. He appoints a prime minister to shield the president from the political disarray of parliament, something that we've seen a lot over the last 12 months, of course, with Macron. Or sometimes it's switched around. So in Iran, for example, they have a unitary theocratic republic. So the president is head of government, but the supreme leader, who is an Islamic cleric, is the ultimate boss.
So which of our neighbours here in Europe then share a similar system to our own, if any?
Well, there are many semi-presidential systems like our own. There's actually a lot more than you might imagine, from Greece to Austria, Germany, Lithuania, Portugal and Finland, which I mentioned before. The German system is quite similar to ours, Pat, inaugurated in 1949, 11 years after us. The office of the then West German president was sort of an essential aspect of the division of power, the checks and balances of post-war Germany. Don't forget that the former Chancellor Hitler had convinced the previous president to sign over total power to him in the 1934 Enabling Act. Now, one major difference between the German and Irish presidents is that they have the power to pardon offenders, much like the American president does. You remember Trump and Biden both did a lot of that at the end of their first terms. Now, Germany is actually one of the countries in which our current president has undertaken reciprocal state visits over recent times, Pat. Here is Michael Dee in Berlin in 2019.
Ireland as an island nation has a history of migration and interaction with cultures and influences from across the seas. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to celebrate, too, the achievements and impact that the Irish diaspora has had on Germany. But Germany itself has long occupied a position at the centre of our continent, not only geographically, but also, as we discussed, at the crossroads of the movements of people and ideas. And as President of Ireland, I take pleasure in the opportunity to pay tribute to your country's long and splendid history in this development of intellectual thought, language and music.
I feel like quoting Basil Fawlty, don't mention the war.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the German system, similar to our own, are other European presidents, though, elected the same way as we elect our president?
Well, this is a crucial difference, Pat. The fact that our president is elected directly by popular vote isn't actually the norm, per se. The situation is quite split on a European level. So Estonia, Latvia, Germany, those countries, the president is elected indirectly. So the country's parliaments vote for the head of state, not the people. So how does that work? Well, let's take Estonia. The successful candidate for president actually requires a supermajority of two-thirds of the nation's parliament to be deemed elected. Then conversely, Austria, Lithuania, Portugal, they use the same system as ourselves, with the people voting directly.
Probably none of them use PR, do they?
No, I don't think so. I think we're pretty unique in that context.
Now, the other significant difference is the duration of the term in office. So how does Ireland compare in that regard?
Well, the Italian president has a 7-year term, and quite extraordinary, they have no limit on the number of terms served, although no one has ever served more than 2 in that country.
It could be 14, 21, 28.
It could be unlimited.
35.
Yeah. Ours at 2 7-year terms is the second longest in Europe, technically, after Italy. The Swiss presidency is a curiosity, Pat. That is the shortest in Europe at just 1 year. Most of the others have 5-year terms, tends to be the norm. And this is interesting because it points to a contentious issue around whether or not ours is simply too long and actually puts people off entering the race for the Oris. Sinn Féin, I remember at the general election, their manifesto, they called for a reduction in our presidential term to 5 years. Equally, Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly inferred that the 7-year term was a factor recently in his decision not to run this time round either. This is what he had to say on RTE recently.
I have given it a lot of consideration. It's probably the most difficult decision I've had to make, certainly in my political life. But I looked at the pros and cons and I asked myself one question. I said, am I happy at what I'm doing at the moment? And I said, I am. Would I be happier spending 7 years in the Oras, considering John B. Keane said a day out of Kerry is a day wasted? And I said, perhaps not. So I looked at all the pros and cons and I'm very disappointed in some respects because it's only something that comes along once in a lifetime, and an awful lot of TDs and supporters within Fine Gael and outside Fine Gael were anxious for me to run and to support me, but ultimately I had to make up my own mind.
And that was MEP Sean Kelly outlining his reasons for not running for president, which may be about the 7-year duration. Interesting, the French had 7 and they went down to 5.
They did.
I bet Macron is sad that they did that.
Yes.
Because his time is running out for him. Now, there's another contentious issue because the presidential salary has come under scrutiny on a number of occasions here in Ireland. But is that aligned with our European neighbours?
No, it certainly isn't, Pat. The salary of the Irish president is much, much higher. In fact, it's the second highest in Europe by my calculations, but the highest in the EU itself. So the Swiss president, who I mentioned a moment ago, they have the highest salary on the continent with an astonishing 478,000 euros, so almost half a million per year. Although if you've ever visited Switzerland, you'll be aware that that salary would barely cover the cost of a ham sandwich.
Yeah, of course, he's only in for a year, or she, so they get that bonanza for a year. And then,
and no doubt a nice pension as well. Yeah.
Now, how exactly is the Irish presidential salary calculated?
Okay, so this is rather complex. Took me a couple of days to figure this out. The Irish presidential salary is set in legislation, Pat, at the same rate as that of the Chief Justice, plus 10%. So that means it currently stands at 336,998 euro. Although it should be said that both Mary McAleese and Michael D. Higgins took a voluntary pay cut. Now, this is still a lot more than the French president, who makes just 182,000 euro per year. Now, when Leonie Riada ran for Irish president in 2018, she had this controversial suggestion for the presidential salary.
I want to be president to stand up for people and to confront the establishment. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour wanted a coronation, but Sinn Féin said no. It is not acceptable that the president is overpaid and the salary should be cut in half.
Now, it's interesting, that's the salary. Then you get bed and board, I presume, up on the Oras and your chauffeur-driven car and a pension.
Yeah, absolutely. There would be a lot of expenses covered during your period in the Oras, that's for sure.
With Leonie Riada there, you know, getting the applause for saying cut the president's salary in half. How does today's salary for a president, though, compare to that paid to Douglas Hyde all those years ago?
Well, this is really interesting, Pat, because I've been reading Flor McCarthy's wonderful book, The President's Letters, which came out a couple of years ago, basically featuring a lot of the correspondence between Irish presidents and world leaders. And in it, she has a little clipping from the Yorkshire Evening Post in 1945, Pat, right? And it's reporting on Sir Douglas Hyde's announcement that he would not be seeking a second term in office. Remember, he was our first president. And it reads, quote unquote, "Dr. Hyde, quiet, scholarly, almost a recluse, has been an ideal first president. ERA's 84-year-old, £15,000 per year president is not to seek re-election." Now, when I read that, I thought, he didn't get much, did he? Then I decided to throw that into an inflation calculator, Pat, and it came to the extraordinary equivalent today of 645,000 euro in today's money. That puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
So Michael D could feel aggrieved.
Exactly. As could the Swiss president.
All right. Simon Tierney, thank you very much for all of that. Ireland's presidential election system led to three fantastic presidents, Mary McAleese, Mary Robinson, Michael D. Higgins. So says Jens in Clonakilty. 5 years is too short. We'll have too many ex-presidents on big pensions. That's according to Mike.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.